Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Loud and Proud Radio Show, only on blasttheradio.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to Loud and Proud. Today I have a bunch of musicians, I think they're called, they might be aliens, I'm really not sure. They call themselves the Sellouts. So here they are. So who are the Sellouts?
I can go. So I'm one of the Sellouts. I'm Rui, I'm the bass player. And we are a group of musicians, as you said. I say it that way because we all have day jobs that pay the bills. So, you know, we all do what we have to do in order to be able to do what we want to do. But, we are, for the most part, we're a tribute act to The Who, you know, and okay. In tribute, because I look nothing like John Entwistle. Certainly our Roger Daltrey Karen looks nothing like, you know, Roger. She doesn't even have the right chromosomes to even be considered, you know, Roger Daltrey. Bert can pull off a Pete Townsend, especially when he has a coffee and wears a jumpsuit.
I can see that.
Yeah, he can pull off the Pete Townsend, and Raul is as misbehaved as Keith Moon, but unfortunately doesn't look anything like him. But I say we're for the most part a tribute because, you know, The Who is, you know, my favorite band. I think they're the greatest rock band to ever grace the planet. But, you know, if you want to start putting together a show and you stick with The Who entirely, if you're in a situation where you got to play three sets, you're going to have to get into some pretty deep tracks that most of the mortals out there won't appreciate. So
true. Very true.
We try to kind of stick to the more the mainstream material that people will recognize, even if they don't know it's The Who, they'll recognize the song.
Yeah.
And we complement that with songs that, you know, we like to describe as, we're popular when The Who were doing their thing, right? So
gotcha.
On that era, right? And in many instances, songs that were performed on the same stage as The Who, like, you know, things at like Woodstock, for example, right? There are some bands we cover from there. But for the most part, we're a Who tribute band.
So I was looking at your Facebook page, The Sellouts, and, you know, it read The Who and some 70s stuff, Janis Joplin,
yeah,
stuff like that. So you're mainly a tribute to The Who and a tribute to the 70s as well, I guess you could say.
The popular
70s stuff.
For the most part, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We do cheat and we play one song from the 80s because we couldn't resist. We pull a Rush song in from the 80s.
Nice.
We couldn't really resist. So, but you know, I think it's just kind of like a fugitive ingredient in some food. I mean, I don't think we have to disclose it really.
No. So how did the band come about?
Well, you know, it's since I was about probably 18, 19, I wanted to be in or put together a Who tribute act. And it took me about 30 years to get my ass in gear and actually do something about it. And I was living here in Ottawa when I decided to do something about it. So, you know, really, you know, it's an interesting story, but not a very exciting one. You know, it was quick. You know, you put out I think it was a Facebook ad I put out. I mean, I think Bert was one of the first person to reply to that. And, you know, something to the effect, who's interested in putting together a Who tribute act? And, you know, we got some pretty good responses pretty soon after posting it. Bert reached out, Raul reached out, another individual who was our first, I guess, test singer reached out, and we all got together, and it was, you know, it was a fortunate collision because I, you know, at least from my perspective, I clicked immediately with Bert. I clicked immediately with Raul. And I thought it was amazing. It's like, you know, Mexico's contribution to a reincarnated Keith Moon. I mean, it was amazing, right? And, but then, you know, the singer didn't really work out. And, you know, so after we tried rehearsing a few times, we kind of decided, you know, let's keep the search going for a singer. And then, you know, Bert says, well, my wife's a singer. You know, that can bring a lot of baggage, but, you know, it's so far it's been great. But, you know, my wife's a singer. And then once he told me who his wife was, I was like, well, I know Karen. Like, we don't know each other, but I know her from, you know, the interweb. Right.
Yeah.
And I had no idea they were a couple, but, you know, I've I knew what she was capable of just from like things on the web, right? You know, I said, "Wow, that's great. Bring her along. Why the hell not? I mean, who says you need a male singer, right?"
No, that's true.
And that was it. I mean, so it's a brief history or brief story, but the interesting twist is, you know, we had a singer we didn't even know about at the beginning, and you know, and at the end of the day, when you look back, it makes perfect sense. I mean, how many male singers can pull off the range of Roger Daltrey? Like on the planet, what, four
That's
maybe?
true. That's true.
And two of them already dead, right? So, you know, so we had to go, it just made sense to go that route. And then we haven't looked back ever since.
So Karen and Bert, how did you when you started with the band, Karen, how did you feel about this? How did you feel that you fit right in right off the bat? How
Well,
much work was it for you?
first of all, Johnny, I've never considered myself a Who fan. Not once, but COVID, it was during the times of COVID and I was in another band and there were, we were starting to lose some momentum and interest was waning and I thought, what the hell? Let's go and have some fun. And learned a few songs, went, and it was a lot of fun. And it took me a while to really, really have a deep-seated appreciation for the Who. Like they are brilliant, and being a female singing a some really hardcore songs that are really
Male
weighing in
dominated.
on male interest. Like they do love songs that really, really resonate with the men, and it was hard to turn that around, but once I got my head into it, it's great. They have a lot of songs that release a lot of anger and emotion, and it's like a therapy when you're up on stage doing that stuff. It's great.
So
I
you
love it.
must have,
I'm glad
that
I'm
would
in
have
the band.
been, that's definitely a cool experience for you. You're coming from that and you're going into what you used to do and you're coming into this and you're also working with your husband.
Yeah, that's the best
So
part. That is
that's
the
the best
absolute
part.
best part.
So you could tell him stuff on stage that you wouldn't be able to tell him at home, like turn it down or stop doing
Well, I do tell him sometimes.
That's
I
never
do tell
happened.
him sometimes.
Now,
How's that any different being in a band anyways?
so
To be honest, Johnny, for the most part, we turn off the fact that we're married as soon as we enter rehearsal. Like we
that's a
are
smart thing.
two totally different people at home, completely different people at home than we are in the band for the most part. There's a few times where it leaks in, but we kind of try to keep it under control.
Well, that's important, right? Especially when you're in a band and you're a couple, you got to separate that relationship and it becomes more of a professional thing, right? It's important. Now,
Yeah, we're
what about
individual members, right, of the band, so we work as a cohesive unit, right? That's all about. So,
What's your background, Bert?
well, I loved the Who since high school. I started playing guitar back then, many, many moons ago. Just loved the Who, and as soon as like I've been playing in bands. I've played in blues bands. I've played in cover bands, mostly that sort of thing. Recently, I was taking guitar lessons as well because I wanted to really get my solo chops going and stuff like that. Because I've been mostly a rhythm player most of my life. So soon as Rui put that post out there, I was right on it. I said, "Fuck yeah, that's it. That's right on. Here's my opportunity." Never been in a Who tribute band or anything either. So it was a godsend. That was
That
awesome.
was a no-brainer for you then.
Oh yeah, it was right away. I answered right away. Yes, let's do
Right
this.
on.
So,
Now, the most important member of the band we
yes.
all know is the drummer. And you know, we no band can survive without a drummer. I'm partial to them. I don't know why. I think they rock. Raul, you're from Mexico?
Yeah, I am
Oh.
born there. Moved here in 2018.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Welcome here, man.
Thank you.
What's your background? Were you into a lot of obviously you were into rock in Mexico, but what were your influences back then?
Well, it's all because of my dad. He had a huge record collection, a lot of vinyls. So I grew up with like the Stones and Queen and Black Sabbath and stuff
Oh,
like
that's
that. And
cool.
then, yeah, that was it was totally out of my my age, right? So I was in elementary school in the 90s. Nobody was listening to that. So I was like out of time, out of space. And then I started to get into like more progressive stuff after I saw Yes in 2003. That changed my life. And I got into Pink Floyd and Genesis and King Crimson and Dream Theater. And I only picked up drumming when I was 17 because I only had the chance to have a proper drum kit at that time, because we lived in an apartment before, so I could only start playing then. Once I started playing, I just started emulating all the stuff that I really liked, and The Who was always one of my favorite bands since I was like 12, 13, and just a huge fan. Whenever Rui put that ad up, I was like, I'm on. I've always wanted to do either a Who tribute band, a Zeppelin tribute band, or a Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And that's cool. Like,
okay, let's do this.
So now, here you are with the Sellouts, and you didn't sell yourself out, which is good. And you feel like you fit right in. These guys welcomed you in, and you're just having the time of your life.
Oh, they're awesome. Yeah, no, we have a lot of fun. I have to tone it down. Out of 100, sometimes I'm a little too loud. We try to tone that down. I try to get smaller sticks, just play lighter. Bye. I know it's The Who. I know, but it's hard to, because some of the places we play are not stadiums, right? As much as we want to. So sometimes the drum sound just beats into the mics and stuff, so I have to bring it down. I also play in like other metal bands, so I can play heavier, usually a little louder, and I know that The Who is a loud band, but in the setting, I have to tone it down a little bit, which is tricky, but it's a lot of fun still.
Well, it works out your dynamics, right? And that's what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's about, you know, like Bert said, we're a cohesive unit, and it's all about how we can sound best as a unit and not like the individual part. So
what year did the Sellouts come together?
December 2021. Was September when we sort of got together initially. Karen started in December, so 2021.
Yeah. We didn't hit the stage or we didn't start doing any shows until 2022, I think it was.
In the summer
of 22, yeah.
Yeah, because you guys came together during the pandemic, which was tough.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to get into that because you guys started a band during the pandemic, and you were the first band that I'm speaking with who actually came together during the pandemic. What were the upsides of that for you?
Lots of practice at home sometimes. So, you know, getting your parts down at home was mostly the thing, right? And keeping to a, you know, a tight schedule of doing that practicing, right? And not veering off sort of thing. So that when we got together, we were, you know, we were working out all the other nuances that needs to be done as a band, so.
Yeah, everybody had the songs.
That gave you something else to focus on, right? You know, that was great as well. You know, and it commanded your focus because there's, quite frankly, there was nothing else to do, right? So it was, you know, the timing. You know, you may say it was poor timing because it was a pandemic, but I think when you look at it from, you know, putting a band together, deciding on what you're going to do, learning the material, like learning the arrangements, coming together, starting to gel as a band, I would argue it was the best timing, right? Because there were very few external distractions in that kind of seminal period where we're learning all our stuff and gelling. So by the time things started to open up and people started to rub the sleep out of their eyes, we were ready to go out there.
Yeah,
and play.
You were ready to hit the stage and really put on a good show because of all the practice you all individually and as a collective group have put in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So pre-pandemic, were you guys in other bands or what were you doing?
Yeah, I was in a few. I hopped around. I used to live in Kingston, and then I used to live in Toronto, and then I moved to Ottawa, and I kept my foot in the Kingston music scene for the first few years I lived in Ottawa. I was a bass player in like a funk and R&B review called The Great Unwashed. Okay. And we used to play quite regularly in the Kingston music scene, which is a pretty awesome little music scene. Actually, I should say that. It's a pretty awesome music scene, the Kingston music scene. And and it's funny because the last show I ever played with the Grin and Washed was the first show that this amazing venue called The Merchant canceled because of the pandemic. So we were the first cancellation as a result of everything starting to shut down, and then it was musical hibernation until we got together.
And what about you, Raul? What were you doing pre-pandemic? Were you playing in another band at all?
I was in another band called Machine Messiah
Oh,
here
I
in
know them.
Ottawa.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
heard
yeah,
of them.
yeah. Yeah, we when I got here, the very first things I did was answer to an ad. Even before I had a job here in Canada, I was like, okay, I have to play. So I found a band, went on audition. I was part of the band before I was even working. So that was fun. I was in the band for 4 years, and it was a lot of fun, very loud. Made some great friends there, but eventually it we hit like a slump. We hit like a lull. We couldn't move forward, and then I was like, okay, I'm done. I think I'm ready for the next thing. And I was out of the band for like maybe 8 months before I joined the Sellout. So I was not rusty, but I was like, okay, I have to get back on stage because I love being on stage.
It is fun, eh? There's an energy you get from that when you're on stage. It's cool. And I'm
Oh
glad
yeah.
you had your priorities straight. Music before work, man. That's important.
That is true. I got what was it? I got my second job because of one of the guitar players' referral in that band. So I couldn't. It did actually help with my job.
Good for you.
It
That's
is
actually
cool.
awesome. I think that's great.
Yeah.
It was a
Yeah.
bit of a culture shock for Raul coming from Mexico that you can't be in a band in Canada and pay the bills. So
Yeah.
it was a bit out there, but he got used to it.
Now, what about Bert and Karen? What were you guys doing pre-pandemic?
Go ahead.
I was in a band called Dirty Little Secret.
Okay.
We were a heavy, like, dirty blues band. That was my very first real, like, get on stage and perform band. They were a great bunch of guys. But for some reason, once COVID hit, we kind of lost our energy, and it never seemed to come back. Some of our interests started to go into different directions, I think, and we couldn't seem to get our focus back together. So, but it was a lot of fun. That band was a lot of fun, and heavy. I love the heavy blues, and so there's a lot of that component in the Who. There's a
Yeah,
lot of
that's
heavy
true.
blues in some of their songs, for sure. Yeah.
And what about you, Bert?
I was in a band called Treble Junkies, and we sort of
Oh, I know
disbanded,
them. Yes.
during COVID sort of thing, and just went our separate ways. Before that, was in a band that was sort of not really getting out and playing much. It was mostly, we do covers and stuff, and once in a while we do our own sort of gigs at like at a Legion or something like that, but that was about it. And then way prior before that, I was in a band called Empty Arms, which we did a lot of Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimi Hendrix, Johnny Winter, more on the blues side of things, right? Sort of stuff, right? And that was a fun time. That was way back in the 80s, though. That was a long, long time ago. But it was, that's where I got really into playing and stuff. I was mostly a rhythm player in that band, and periodically it wouldn't be needed, and I would be able to go down off stage and go get a drink at the bar and then watch the band play and then get up and play again, which is kind of cool, which is pretty
That's
neat.
awesome. So now here you all are collectively as the Sellouts. And what would you say has changed in the music scene in Ottawa since the pandemic? What do you think has changed the most?
I see there's a lot of bands out there right now. That's for sure. There seems to be more venues getting bands too, or having bands, which is nice. I think that's about it for me. I don't.
Yeah, I watched your last interview with Scotty Rufo from the Brass Monkey, and he was right. Like he's seeing what we see, a lot of pub type bars that are having a lot more bands come in. It's kind of cool. It's kind of fun. It would be nice if we had more venues like what Scotty has in the city. We've lost a lot of those, and it wasn't just because of COVID. They've been dying out for a lot of years.
Yep,
but I agree. Definitely a lot of them closed up over or had, you know, changed their model over COVID.
Now, yeah, we've heard like, you know, like Maverick changed over. Now they're for sale. There's no more live bands. You know, we've got, long oldest, one of the oldest venues in Ottawa, you know, the Barrymore's gone. Yeah. You know, that was a huge hit to Ottawa. And like Scott was saying, there's a lot more bands playing in different things, but these bands are so busy and they keep doing the same circuits over and over again that it becomes... We got to be careful too, because we don't want to become too homogenized where it's just the same thing over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. It's important to change up. Now, do you guys like every now and then change up your set list a bit or change it up to make it different?
Yeah, the nice thing about being like having to dip into non-Who material from the era is that, you know, it affords you that ability to just pick from. I mean, there's so much to pick from, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're staying with with a core of recognizable and, you know, Who hits, that remains somewhat static, but that changes a bit. But it's the alternates, right, that we really get to experiment. And, you know, and it's like anything else, we bring some in and try it sounds great at rehearsal, we perform it live and it was a bit of a train wreck, so it goes on the shelf. And and then other ones that we thought were rather ho-hum in rehearsal actually go over amazingly well live. And, you know, so we're always changing up, I guess, a portion of our repertoire because of that.
It's important, right? Because if you want some keep the people coming, you got to have it, change it up, so it's not just the same thing over and over again. Now, you're in the Ottawa area. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be playing anywhere outside Ottawa? Do you have any plans for that, like Montreal, Kingston, or something like that?
Yeah, it's funny because we were talking about at last rehearsal that I'm going to reach out to some of the club owners in Kingston that I played at. And I haven't done that yet. I've been dragging my heels, but I'm going to do that. And I think it would be nice. I mean, there's always that like that element of novelty, right? When you bring in another band from even a city as close as Ottawa, you know, there's... Mm-hmm. It's a little extra modicum of draw, right?
Yep.
To bring people in. So, you know, I'm hoping that that'll work out. And I've helped these bar owners sell a lot of beer over the years. So I hope they do me a solid and
this kid. But and also too, now with COVID gone and more festivals and, you know, other things happening in the city, I'm guessing you're looking at doing stuff like that too, maybe.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It's important to get out there, right? And
yeah,
and this is what this is about too, is interviewing local bands and trying to revive the music scene a bit, and, you know, and talk to the bands about what they're doing and what they think needs to change to make things better. And, you know, that's why I ask these questions, because as you said, you know, the music scene in Ottawa has been changing for years. You know, the big venues are, you know, almost non-existent, and I think if everyone works together, then we could sort of hopefully change that, right, and make things better. Now, yeah. I want to know more about the sellouts shows. Like, what do you guys have coming up, and where, and how can we find out about this?
We have our next one is on Friday, the 22nd of March, at Conspiracy Theory in Bell's Corners.
Yeah.
They've picked up, having live music a lot over the past year, and some really good bands coming in. And
how's that venue? I've never been in there yet. How is it?
It's a smaller version. It doesn't have a full stage, but it's got a big space, lots of space. It's not like a full mm-hmm. stage like you see at Overflow, but it's similar to that venue. It's big, high ceilings. And it's a fun spot, I think. I don't know how the other guys feel about it, but I like going there.
Yeah, it's a microbrewery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, and they've got a formula that I'm a big fan of. Like, you know, the shows start earlier and end earlier, right? And
that is good.
You know, and I think, you know, you talked about, like, you know, what, you know, things that need to change in the Ottawa scene. I mean, you know, the fact is the median age of performers and the median age of attendees is going up, right?
That's true.
You know, and, you know, I, you know, 10 years ago, I had no problem striking my last note at 2:30 in the morning and crawling into bed at 4. But I much like striking the last note at midnight and, you know, grabbing some shawarma on the way home before going to bed. That's to me, that's a nicer evening. And I think you get to bring more people out, right? Because, you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
I've been to many shows where, you know, they start at 9, but then it's like 9:30, 9:45 by the time we get started. And, you know, by the time it's, we all work, and by the time it's 10:30, I'm sitting there listening to the band going, okay, well, they're only a third of their way through their first set now, and I'm already tired. Yeah. I want to go home.
I got
to
go.
You know, it's me myself as a performing musician, when I used to go out, it was the same thing. You know, 11:30 and I'm just about to start my second set and I'm going, holy crap, man, I still got to pack all this up like in 3 hours. Yeah. I don't know if I want to do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. It is a good thing. The earlier shows are good. What else do you guys have booked and how can we reach the sellouts?
Facebook.
Okay.
Page on Facebook, the sellouts Facebook page. You'll get all the information from that.
Okay. Just an FYI, there are more sellouts. So you guys have a specific logo though.
The sellouts Ottawa.
I saw, there we go. That's what I'm looking for. Put that up towards the camera.
Right, nice and close up.
There we go. That's the logo. That's what we want to see. So people look out for that logo.
For the bullseye in the O.
Yes. Yes.
Also, we all try very hard to share with all of the local FB and Instagram forums. There's a lot of supporting Ottawa scene, like Ottawa musicians. There's Ottawa area bands. There's Ottawa live music. There's many, many forums that we try to share our stuff with. So if you're not, you know, not interested in following us, at least follow one of those and you'll find some live music posts.
There's music for everyone, right? There's all kinds of music for everyone out there, and you're catering to, you know, like you said, you're covering mostly the Who, but also some 70s. So you're catering to a little bit of an older generation, but I'm gonna say there is a lot of newer generation people who hear songs in movies, right? Like Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, stuff that where they have these really kick-ass soundtracks. They're bringing back some older music to that. So that's why I was asking about, you know, if you're going to be doing festivals or something, because those are all ages, right? And a lot of younger people who are underage can't go to a bar because, you know, you can't go to the Brass Monkey if you're underage to go see a show that they might want to see, right? That's why I was asking about that. So,
well, Johnny, that's a very good point because I'm still working on a friend who lives across the street from us. We live on the Dunrobin Shores, so we're on the river, and this person has a very large area to host an awful lot of people, and we're going to do a fundraiser. So, we're probably going to post something about a fundraiser hopefully this summer. We're not sure which foundation that we will support, but it's always good to support someone.
Well, you know what? If you need a hand with that, let me know. I would love to interview you if you want to, you know, before, you know, maybe a couple weeks before, you know, PR that, because I love doing stuff when it's for benefits. I love doing that stuff. And if you guys want to, you know, if you want me there recording stuff, I really don't mind. Like if you want an MC for the night, I love doing that stuff. That's fun to do.
And will you MC it for us?
I would, of course.
I think you'd be an excellent MC.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I love doing stuff like that. It's fun. And, you know, I've got a bunch of cameras. We can do some video footage. And we'll put it up on Loud and Proud. We'll put it up on YouTube. And it's nice because we get more people out there, you know, get people excited and stuff like that. I just love doing stuff like that, especially when it involves local bands. I think it's great. I would love to help out with that. If I could, I'm asking to be involved.
You're hired.
I don't want to be hired. I just want to donate my time.
Hey, you know, you talked about festivals. You know, one of the things that I would love to see us get into is the Nostalgia Festival.
Okay. Yeah.
That would be a great one. But you know, I just thought I'd put that out there on the airwaves because our emails have gone unanswered. So Nostalgia Festival people, return our email. You won't be disappointed.
Listen up.
Yes, please.
That's right, Raul. That's right. You show them, right? Right. Nostalgia people.
We're going to get
listen.
You.
Listen. Yeah. The sellouts are asking to talk to you. Reply. Yes.
If you like rock music and you go see us, you're going to like the show. Even if you're not a Who fan, there's at least a couple of songs. You're going to dance. You're going to have a good time. You're going to be like, oh, okay, I know this song. I like this song. That's all I'm going to say.
It's important. Good. No, good on you, Raul. That's very, very true. Listen, I want to thank you all for being on. This was a great interview. I love who you guys are. I love how you come together and how you're supporting the music community in Ottawa and the venues as well. It's important that we keep doing that and keep growing it. I love the fact that you want to put something charitable on. That, to me, it's close to my heart, no matter what it is, because I love doing charity stuff. I mean, I was an underprivileged kid growing up, so I know what struggles are like with certain things, and whatever the causes are, I'm always wanting to be involved. So thank you for that, number one. And people, go to Facebook and look up the sellouts. You saw the logo on the cup. You could probably buy one of those cups, man. Come on, you must be selling those, right?
We're okay. Going to be, yeah.
Well, you're going to have some merch when you go see the sellout. So what you said, March 22nd at Conspiracy Brewing?
Conspiracy Theory
Brewing. What time?
8 o'clock, but get there early because the tables go fast.
Yeah, you have to reserve at your table. So
have yourself some locally brewed beer and hire a local taxi driver to get you home, too. That's very important. Guys, thank you so much. People, these are the sellouts. I really appreciate you guys coming on. I love you all. You have yourselves a fantastic day.
Thank you
so much, John.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.